Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Riverman.
2020.
I mean...
is there anything else to say about it?
No.
All right. Show over. Oh, thanks,
yeah,
everybody.
There you go.
All right. We do have to review the year. That's going to be our episode today. We're going to talk about 2020 review. We're going to talk about the things that obviously went very, very wrong in so many ways.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some things that went right.
Okay,
though.
So I'm the ultimate optimist, I guess. So there's some good. There's always the silver lining on the cloud, right? There's got to be some good that
it's
comes out of 2020.
It's just a very, very big cloud this year.
It's a really huge cloud, yeah.
And you got to look real hard for that silver.
All
right, so we're going to do that. We're going to reflect on the pod. We're going to talk a little bit about next year, what comes next, maybe make some predictions.
There you go.
And as always, share some of our fun things from the year. So it's time for us to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect Podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right, so again, 2020, I mean, right?
It seemed like such a it was going to be such a cool year.
Sure.
My daughter was graduating from high school and is like 2020. It was so cool to graduate 2020. You know, it's just
it is a nice
you
round number.
In the new year in the 2020 and it's just it adds, you know, it could have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that didn't
happen. Every year has that optimism to it, obviously, you know. And next year we'll have some optimism. You know, there's unfortunately some of the worst aspects of this year are still going to be lingering heading into 2021. We acknowledge that. But
not just 2021 and beyond.
Well, true. Yeah. But, you know, I also acknowledge that every time you get to a new year, there is always that sense of hope and renewal and let's start over again. And then midway through the year, you're like, nah, this sucks too. Let's can't wait till 2022, you know. But, you know, I did want for us to kind of reflect a little bit on this year and think about it. And, you know, even if there weren't a coronavirus, I'm sure there was going to be stuff. I mean, before the coronavirus hit, you remember there was fires in Australia. Half of Australia burned away. I mean,
You're right.
An awful start there. Like, you know, I mean, there was a lot of awful things happening.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We were going to be in for a very contentious election year. That was going to happen regardless.
That was coming.
We knew that was on the horizon. But nobody obviously expected a worldwide pandemic that has just changed the way we live our life.
Were there other signs? Are you into numerology? I mean, did we miss some stuff here? Then were we not listening to the people that were saying 2020? Oh, you think it's going to be good? Oh, no.
I want those people who were always like predicting an end of the world. Like, you know, there's always random
some
date that's going to be the end of the world. And we always get to that date and everyone's a little on edge for that day a little bit. And then it passes and we're like, oh. And then those same people go, oh, never mind. We read the signs wrong. We actually meant this date 6 years from now. I didn't hear a single one of those damn people come out and talk about 2020, did you?
I don't know, but I feel like I missed something. I feel like we all missed something. We should have, Nostradamus, somebody should have been out there saying March 11, 2020 is the day the world's going to burn or whatever.
The Mayan calendar's already ended. We've already passed that. We've passed all those doomsday cults. Man. Like, just no one, which just goes to show you that nothing's predictable. That's what
nothing's predictable, and I think that's the shock value that what happened in 2020 is that nobody saw it coming at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's so interesting now to see hindsight. You know, you see videos of President Bush and Dr. Fauci back in 2000 talking in front of the WHO about how we as a world need to have a better plan when the pandemic hits and stuff like that. And it's like, you could have just fast forward 20 years and we're in the, you know, everything that they were talking about then, we should have done.
But isn't that human nature?
Yeah.
Like, for us to like,
totally
I mean, you know, not to get into, you know, the politics of climate change or whatever you might believe about that. But again, one of those things where there's a lot of things that people say, all right, we know this is sort of a problem, but it's a future problem and it's not a right now problem.
Right.
So I don't really need to worry about it right now.
The house isn't burning right now, or is it? Don't know. But why are we so reactionary?
I don't know. It's a huge problem with humanity in general, society in particular, maybe even American culture too. You know, to just want to just shove problems off into the future as someone else's problem to deal with until it becomes our problem. And then suddenly we all, you're right, run around and go, how did this happen?
Well, all I know, though, and again, me being the optimist, I know that if you have survived and you're going to survive the next however many 6 months or whatnot, I think we'll look back on it and be stronger for it. That's what I'm hoping for. in a lot of ways.
And hopefully we learn some things, you know, that's always the key is like, did you learn something from it? You know, because if 5 years from now, another pandemic is running across this globe, I'm going to be like, really, people, come on.
Yeah, we didn't. Well, apparently they happen a lot. You know, there was the bird flu. I was looking at some statistic. It's like almost every year they're not a pandemic, but a new virus.
Something that could turn into one.
Yes, exactly.
If left to, you know, run unchecked.
So we're not out of the, you know, we're not out of the woods by any means. But yes, I hope we learn something through this, through this particular pandemic. Holy moly. If we don't, what is all this worth?
I know, no doubt. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about. I feel like we talk a lot about what didn't go right.
Yeah.
And maybe let's go ahead and finish the didn't go right stuff so we can get on to some positive stuff after that.
Okay.
Let's just do all the bad crap right up at the top so we can bum you out, but then enlighten you and hopefully make you feel a little better as we get through the latter part of the episode.
Okay.
So, and some of this stuff, I feel like we have talked about a lot of this as we've gone through the year of what's going wrong, where there's been problems. We talked like on our work from home episode about, you know, the struggles with that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about managing during this time, marketing during a crisis. There's a lot of things that I think we discussed about this year that kind of didn't work well or that we struggled with. I think three that I came up with in particular were communication, you know, which is, you know, let's be honest, communication is a struggle in the best of situations, regardless of whether everybody's stuck at home and working separately, not able to see each other face-to-face every day.
Yep.
Information.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, again, something I think that some companies do better than others. Some, you know, and some industries do better than others, and some just, I don't know, people in general do better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading information, sharing information, getting the right information out at the right time to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And then events, you know, and I'm kind of talking obviously a little bit about our world and the reseller channel.
Yeah.
You know, events obviously was something that was, you know, a big, huge deal in our world and something that we all expected, you know, put money aside for. You know, I know there's plenty of companies that, you know, that I've talked to and people we've talked to that have said, hey, we had a lot, you know, banked on being able to go to X show, you know, like I remember when this whole thing started was right around the time that HIMSS was going to launch. And that's a huge show.
Oh, man.
For anybody that works in healthcare. It's the big show of the entire year.
Yep.
And a lot of people like, you know, felt very frustrated by like, hey, I can't roll out my brand new products here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I was going to do something that just doesn't even make sense post pandemic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot I think that obviously was missing when people couldn't get together and meet the way they used to.
Yeah.
What about you? What are some things you think that kind of didn't work this year?
I would put education at the top. And I've got, you know, kids obviously in various forms of the education process from college all the way down to grade school. And the whole pivot to stay at home is really a struggle on the education part. I mean, what didn't go right, it's still not going right.
Right.
You know, for those, unfortunately, that have to be at home, I mean, it's just created such a burden. And at the end of the road, the vast majority of it's just simply not getting done. So now we're going to have the consequences of that to face in years coming up. But, you know, educating – parents aren't teachers. I mean, you know, I mean, they're not educated
to be. And even if they are, they still weren't prepared for that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just that's just one of those that's again, it's impacting me in my life, but it's just crazy to think about how that – you know, that pivot just is not working out really well right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things I'm glad that my son is only three. And granted, that comes with its own challenges because, you know, when we were all stuck at home when his daycare was closed and currently is again for, you know, a brief time, hopefully brief, but given the current situation could be a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you know, I had to learn how to, you know, entertain a toddler while, you know, while trying to work a 40-hour week job from
not
home
easy.
As well. Not easy.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, if you add that extra layer on of having to, you know, to teach them, get them in a structured environment that's different from school, because we all know how kids are. Like, I already learned this about my kid. When he's with other people, he's a saint.
Much better.
When he's with us, he's a nightmare sometimes.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way it goes.
I'm sure it's exactly how it is for school-age children, too. That, you know, like, whereas maybe they go to school and they're a perfect student and they do everything well, suddenly at home they can't keep it straight. They can't focus for a couple hours at a time, have no interest in sitting down and doing the work.
Yeah.
So kudos to parents like you that have to to manage that piece.
Well,
too.
Right. I mean, it's a burden on the family, right? I mean, and mothers, you know, are taking a little bit more of the brunt on that. I was looking at some statistics today, and it is, you know, the moms are the ones that statistically are staying home right. more than the guys are. Just the burden's a little bit heavier there, just because moms. I mean. It is what it is
right.
in our current society. So yeah, when you think about what's not going right, that's one of them. I would put communication up there as well as you did. It's very tough. I mean, it's tough to pivot. And I don't know. I guess some generations, and we talked about this, are having a harder time with that than other generations. Mm-hmm. I mean, the younger generation, they live in Snapchat and these types. I mean, they're always on their phone. And right. so isolated in a closet, still communicating with their friends, not as big as of an issue than people that have been used to engaging with folks and communicating in a completely different way
right.
all their lives, not just work, but, you know, socially and things like that too. So communication has really, really been a challenge, I think. And it's difficult. I don't know that it's going right in a lot of ways in
right,
2020.
Right. Because I mean, even for as much as we've figured out so far, there's still always challenges with that. You know?
Always.
I mean, I think, you know, I'm sure some businesses and companies have, you know, tackled it better than others, you know, and made that pivot a little bit quicker. But I'm sure plenty of our customers and, you know, and mm-hmm. viewers are still struggling with, you know, hey,
oh, yeah.
my job is built around social.
Yep.
You know, connections is
yep.
built around going to those events, is built around being able to pick up a phone and talk to somebody anytime.
Yeah.
And not just picking up the phone, but then also being able to go visit them in person and,
oh,
and
yeah.
see what they're dealing with. And now, you know, when you're limited to just the phone, or, you know, limited to, you know, communicating by email or trying mm-hmm. to, you know, pivot to some kind of marketing, you know, mm-hmm. discussion, like it can't be easy and I think for some businesses, it's going to be very difficult to make that sustainable if they still have made mm-hmm. it this far. Hopefully, you made it this far. You get it, and you kind of know what you're doing, and maybe you're going to be able to keep at that for as much longer as we have to. But
yeah.
but I imagine there's still a lot of people that are struggling right now.
I couldn't agree more. Another thing that didn't really work is no sports. When this thing first hit, and not being able to have some type of sports
right
as a relief valve,
right at the beginning of the baseball season too, like just the spring training was wrapping up,
near and dear to our heart, your heart more, yeah. I mean, gosh, that was just such a killer. Not having what was it, 2-3 months we went,
and
there was like there was it was nothing
other than those marble runs.
Which were awesome.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, like,
God, that seems like 5 years
the
ago.
The flip side of that, anyway. If you're going to look at some of that silver lining of positivity there, is that when it came back, everything came back at the same time. Like,
well,
if you were
I'm mostly a
baseball guy and a little bit of football.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you're into a lot of different sports and you just love any kind of sport, there mm-hmm. was a point there where you had baseball, football, basketball, playoffs, and not just
NHL,
like,
all yeah, the same time.
Not
literally
just regular season
time.
Stuff either. Like, you had like the heart of playoffs for a bunch of different leagues. And like, you know, like the most exciting parts of the year for a lot of different sports. I mean, I guess that was worth waiting for, I hope.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. All the UFC fans, by the way, are laughing right now because that went the entire time. That didn't stop.
No, it didn't.
You can
or
do
wrestling. I think we talked about this at one point. Like, I remember just, I don't watch wrestling, but like, you know, it's one of those things. It's on 70 channels. So if you happen to be channel surfing, you find it from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember one day coming across like an episode of, don't ask me which one because I don't know the difference between any of them. And like it's just the empty arena. Like, you know, they're in this empty arena and like, you know, you got these guys coming out here like, yeah, flexing, where normally like the crowd is just going wild. It's
right.
just like, yeah, and some loud music and just wasn't the same. Like,
no, it's not working.
Like, your little pseudo faux sport here doesn't quite look the same when people aren't up there screaming, yelling at you the whole time. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, that was a problem in other sports too, let's be honest. So.
Yeah. But it's been good to see it come back, and not just in the professional level, but I think, you know, all the way down to the high school level. It has a lot of meaning, and so, you know, they're doing some football and stuff like mm-hmm. that here locally, and nobody can go to the games except for the parents, which is a good move, and they're scattered in the stands. So I mean, it just that brings a lot of community. It brings some amount of normality back to our lives,
right.
a little bit with a risk, yes, but you know, oh my gosh. What's not working is this constantly weighing risks and rewards. I mean, just the anxiety of everybody having to sit here and weigh these not little decisions, you know, big decisions about, you know, do I go see my elderly parent? Do I, you know, what, oh my God, it's just endless.
I know.
At this point in time. Well, that's really fatiguing.
It is. And I felt like we all kind of reached a point where we learned to grapple with it. And, you know, when that curve kind of took that roll downward a little bit and things mm-hmm. started easing up a bit, stuff mm-hmm. reopened, which granted, you can debate whether that was appropriate timing or whether we did stuff too early or not or whatever. But, you know, there was at least a sense, I think a lot of people felt a little bit more at ease for a bit.
And well, I think we had a better understanding of the virus.
We understood it. We understood what we needed to do.
We didn't know.
Right.
We didn't know if, you know, if I get it, am I going to die? You know, we know so much more about the virus now, what, 7-8 months into it that we're at today. But right when it hit, yeah, we had no clue.
Right. But then, you know, the flip side of that is we're recording this in mid-November.
Right.
You know, just a heads up. It's not really the end of the year for us, but you know, we're doing this a little bit early. So obviously, one, a lot of stuff could happen over the next month and a half.
Right.
But two, like, we're also in the place where cases are starting to rise again.
Sure.
It's becoming more of an issue than ever.
Yep.
It's quite possible, you know, a lot of places, it's already starting to happen. Places are starting to lock back down again.
Yep.
Businesses are starting to be closed up
yep.
again.
Yep.
Could be a lot more of that in our future, you know. So
yep.
again, that anxiety level is starting to rise back
oh, sure.
up. Yep. Even though I think we have a better idea of how to manage it, we're still, again, at that point where we're starting to go, like, yeah. I don't know how comfortable I feel yeah. anymore, you know?
Yeah, so. It hasn't left. The anxiety has not left this year. So I don't, you know, and then part of the things, and, you know, when you think about the long term, I was reading an article that said, and I'll come back to this as well, there's a significant tail of mental health needs that'll come out of this.
In, yes.
In, you know, so it's not, this isn't something that, you know, if the vaccine does come out in springtime and great and everybody gets it or those who want, blah, 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 there's even an issue there. There's still going to be a significant tail. I mean, this
oh, yeah.
has been a traumatic type of a thing that we'll be dealing with this for, I don't know. You know, decades.
I mean, are you? I don't know about you, but like, if I'm out in public and someone's hacking up a lung, I'm gonna be still weird about it. I don't care how many vaccines you've given me at that point. I'm still. I mean, because I was that way before, and I know we talk about the germaphobe,
right? John
and I'm really not that bad, but but it's just it is. But it's a simple thing of like I think people are going to be much more, you know, conscious
well,
and
yeah.
aware of that now, and aware okay. of you know how illness spreads, and aware that like you know
oh, yeah.
if someone's sick. And they are coughing in your vicinity, or you know they're
not
sneezing
cool.
all around you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and when you're tightly packed together with a bunch of other people, you know there's a risk of stuff spreading, whether it is a pandemic of a virus we don't understand, or just a common cold,
mm-hmm.
or a basic flu, or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
like there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of you know. I think people are going to be still very hesitant and very, you know, hopefully. I mean, because that is not a bad thing to be concerned about, you know, spreading illness,
sure.
you know. I mean,
sure.
how many times have you had to work with somebody, that person that shows up to work, no matter how sick they are,
mm-hmm.
sits there at their desk all day.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm fine. I got my tea.
I'm just getting out of it.
Yeah, yeah exactly. I'm almost, and you're like, no, go away. Go home.
That's going to happen for quite a few years. Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think that, I think the shaming of that might be a little more pronounced than it
yeah.
was before.
Well, I mean, I think, and rightfully so, I mean, people will be like, hey, dude, just go home.
Right.
You know, you can work from
yeah,
home.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
there
okay.
you go. That's the other part there, yeah.
That whole work from home thing that has really kind of revolutionized where we're at right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Not only that use case that you gave, but being on a plane. Can you imagine being on a plane, sitting next to somebody who's hacking? That has happened to me countless times. I don't know how many times that somebody in the vicinity of
right.
where I'm sitting has some kind of illness. This
yeah.
is prior to COVID, obviously. And, you know, you're just sitting there saying, well, there's at least a 50-50 chance I'm going to get whatever that person has. And I just hope it's not the plague.
Right.
And that's how you would joke to yourself pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Now it's going to have a little bit of a different connotation.
Exactly. If they told me that I had to still have a mask up just to take flights, just in general, long after this is over with, I'd probably be like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it. That's
yeah,
fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
yeah I'm okay with that. Oh man!
Anyway,
okay, well,
so a lot has gone wrong.
Yes. So let's shift to some of the good stuff, though. We got all the dark, terrible stuff out of the way. Let's shift to some of the stuff I think that has worked really well.
Fair enough.
I think you know I want to start first of all because you kind of talked a little bit when you're talking about the sports thing of like coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that idea that like, you know, let's be honest, we live in a very divisive world for
mm-hmm.
a multitude of reasons
mm-hmm.
right now. But I will say, especially in the early days of this, there was a lot of communal spirit that was going on that I
mm-hmm.
found very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's still out there. You know, like I said, I feel like, you know, it got a little shaken up as time went on and people just got tired of dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, you know, you had so many people that were trying so hard to do good things for each other, for mm-hmm. their neighbors. You know, you'd see people putting up signs in their windows just for, you know, kids walking by or whatever to see fun, cool stuff, you know, as they were walking around the neighborhood or something. You know, my neighborhood was having, you know, children were painting rocks mm-hmm. and leaving them random places around the neighborhood, which I know is a thing regardless of this. But like, you know, it was something that people got excited about and were sharing images on Facebook. You know, the love and support that went out for our frontline workers, for people in healthcare, for our essential workers, mm-hmm. there was a very strong communal spirit that, mm-hmm. that really built up there for a while, as everybody genuinely felt for a while, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I feel like that did kind of fall apart, but we won't talk about that negative part of it. I will say that, like, you know, I was very encouraged to see that, like, at a time of a lot of need, and when a lot of people were very concerned about their health, their lives, their jobs, their mm-hmm. families, you saw a lot of people really came together and kind of, you know, bonded at this time.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with that. I think there was an initial push of that, if you will, right. that kindness. And we talked about, and I would share with the team some of the acts of kindness mm-hmm. that came across me personally in our world, you know, where my daughter, Tori, struck up a letter conversation with our mail carrier, right. which was really awesome. You know, it's like everybody's locked indoors and how do you communicate? And she just started up a little thing with our mail carrier. It was the cutest thing ever, but it was awesome. It was one of those acts of kindness that you know, kind of gave you hope during that point in time. Even then, you know, a little bit after that, my other daughter graduated from high school and she had people coming over and giving her care because, you know, they weren't doing a graduation.
Right.
They weren't getting the experience of prom. They weren't getting all those things that you get out of your senior year. So you had just people randomly coming over, doing acts of kindness and delivering, you know, cards and gift baskets, just trying to raise the spirit of right. those people. And you know what, though, John? I mean, I think at the end of the road, that's where most people are.
I agree.
And
we're just not the vocal ones.
Well, and I think we need to be cognizant of that, and then also cognizant of the fact that it's usually the extremes of a conversation that get the megaphone.
Yes.
And that a lot of that's going on right now. But to me, I treat that as noise. I think most people, they'll listen to it a little bit. What are you talking about? Okay. But at the end of the road, most people, this is just me, my thought, are good in nature and want, you know, good things as a result of some of the things, and some of the things that need to happen, sure,
right.
That we can all agree on as a society. So I'm hoping that some of that rhetoric and some of that fringe noise kind of dies down here after the beginning of the year, and we can get back to, you know, just being human and that kind of thing. We'll see.
I concur.
Yeah.
Well, innovation's the other thing I think I wanted to talk about. And this is something, obviously, this podcast has been all mm-hmm. along the way, when we're always sharing our tech connecting with us or what's going on even with our, you yep. know, vendors and software partners that have been on the show with us, this spirit of innovation and, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, I've said it before and, you know, we'll repeat it one last time, hopefully this year, which is, you know, necessity is the mother of invention kind of
yep.
thing. And the necessity of this year was more profound and more urgent and more dire than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I there is a lot of amazing technology, a lot of amazing thought processes, innovative practices, ideas that have come out of this that will last us, you know,
oh yeah,
for a long time to
absolutely.
Come, you know, and will be beneficial yeah. for a long time mm-hmm. to come. So I'm always, that's the one side of things where I always have to look and say, hey, as bad as things got, you know, ideally 2 or 3 years down the road, we'll be able to say this would never have been a thing.
Yep.
If it weren't for that pandemic.
Yeah, right.
As awful as that was mm-hmm. and as terrible as it is and unfortunate is the loss of life that's occurred,
mm-hmm.
this came out of it, and that's a positive that maybe helps save other lives down the road or something, you know, or improves the way we live or the way we work in the future. So
yeah.
I'm very encouraged by, you know, the innovation that comes out of stuff like this. There's a lot of great people and companies out there that when something like this happens, their mind instantly shifts into, how can I help? How can I make this better? How can I improve the world from here on out after seeing what I've seen here?
Yeah, it's truly amazing to see the human spirit in action. There's just no doubt about it, whether it's from delivery of food to, innovative technology that's trying to enable people and businesses to continue on. That's one thing I love about being in the society that we're in that enables innovation and embraces that and has that a part of it. I mean, I can't even fathom being in a type of society that's – not that, you know, that doesn't allow people to innovate and come up with ideas about how to make life better even during these times.
Right.
It's truly inspiring to see. And there's been a lot of good, I think, that has come out of that. As well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then let's kind of talk a little bit about the channel itself and, you know, in our world, in Blue Star world here a little bit, you know, and what went right. I'm going to start off by talking about this podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going to do this regardless. And, you know, and we've told this to some of our guests and, you know, if you're viewers on the YouTube channel and if you're not, you know, if you've never watched it on YouTube, we're sitting in a very nice studio.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two extra chairs here with two extra microphones.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really nice setup. Like, this place was designed to have guests in here sitting down with us and doing a podcast.
Having a conversation. That's right.
And obviously, that changed dramatically. Like, you know, I think we've had a couple of our, you know, fellow Blue Star folks, you know, able to come on in.
Yeah.
But other than that, everybody's been remote. And, you know, it turns out that pivot worked very well. We figured it out. I feel like we've had a very successful podcast, you know, in spite of that particular hurdle that we jumped. But, you know, I just to that end, though, I've had a lot of fun work doing this podcast. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But I think it's a testament to, you know, the work, you know, that you and I have put into this and some other folks that I'm going to shout out here in a little bit, too, to make this happen and to actually put this on every week and be something that hopefully, you know, some of our listeners, you know, have taken some comfort in or enjoyed listening to or, you know, learned something useful from, you know, throughout this crazy year, because this the way this turned out was not part of the plan. Like, I'm glad we still did it. I'm glad we didn't shift away from it, but it was not how it was supposed
to go. Well, it's important. It's one of the value adds that we feel that Blue Star brings to the table is education, and having this medium, a podcast, to be able to do that is very important. We didn't know how important it would be, you know, when we first had the idea about this time last year is when it started percolating. Oh, maybe we should do a podcast. What do you mean do a podcast? Yeah, you know, we did all the analysis around it, and it's an important way to communicate. It doesn't communicate with everybody because you know certain people like podcasts, myself being one of them. But it's really important way to communicate to people. And I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And I took a look back at some of the things we've done. We've done a lot, brother.
Oh yeah,
we've
covered a lot of topics,
a lot of different topics, and brought a lot of education, I think, to the marketplace. In a lot of these episodes, they got a lot of legs, as we say. Yep. So you can go back and listen to them. You don't have to listen to it sequentially. You know, there's good 101 stuff in there, from digital signage to cloud-based software. Man, we did a lot. We covered a lot of ground.
But you're right. I do feel like I know, like, you know, there's a lot of episodes where we talk about COVID at some point and the current situation.
Sure.
But I still feel like there's a lot of stuff we talk about that if you ignore that particular section of it and, you know, ignore that part of the conversation, you're right. There's a lot of evergreen material that I think people could easily listen to years from now and still get some benefits out of. And if for some reason it does get stale, well, then we'll record something new that kind of takes its place and you know, takes it to the next level there. So, but yeah, I've been excited about that. You know, it's funny. I remember when I first interviewed at Blue Star, going on 3 years ago now, 3+ years ago, you interviewed me, I think the second time I came in, and told me at some point, briefly told me about the fact that you guys had a podcast or were trying to do a podcast at the time or tried to at some point.
Uh-huh.
And I remember my ears perking up literally and being like, "Ooh, that's something I'd be interested in." Yeah. And then, I got hired on, and like, we really didn't do anything with it for a couple of years.
Oh, did the bait and switch?
I came in, and I'm just like, I was promised a podcast. You know? And it didn't happen. But then I remember as we were starting to enter into this year, and I was selling, pitching hard on it. Like, look, I want to do this. Right. If we're going to do this, I want to be involved.
Yep.
And, you know, and when we finally got around to doing it, you were, you know, more than happy to let me get on board. So I thank you for that. I appreciate
being
part of this.
Absolutely. I would have been
sitting at home with tears in my eyes if someone else was sitting here doing this every week.
I'd be like, oh, man.
I want to do a podcast. So I do appreciate that. Let's see. A couple other things. Work from home. We had a whole podcast with this, so we don't need to elaborate. But I do feel like, you know, I think the bottom line is to what I've always said about this, which is a lot of companies were able to pivot to that and realize it is not the disaster that they might have worried that it was going to be.
Yeah, agreed.
I think it's been a much more productive and great way to keep people working without any concerns about their health or exposing them to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I would challenge that there are probably very few employers out there that are doing this that would honestly, can honestly say that it's not going well for them, that it's you know, a huge problem.
Oh, they're out there.
I'm sure there are.
They're out there, yeah.
There are always going to be people that are going to complain about that. Right. But I think in general, I think a lot of people who probably were like, oh, this is going to be a disaster, realized, oh, no. Like, people do want to work. They do want to do their jobs. They are responsible.
Yep.
And they're going to do their jobs.
It's just different. And change is always a disruptor.
It's
right?
True, yes.
So, and that was what where we were at in March and April and May. And, I mean, when you look at the statistics of how many people pivoted to, and again, these are mostly white-collar workers,
right,
who pivoted to an at-home environment, it's just amazing. And we talked about how, you know, when you, in hindsight, you think about it, I'm surprised the internet didn't crash with everybody now doing Zoom calls and all the bandwidth that we're absorbing, and the fact that, you know, people were able to, their phone used to ring at their desk. Well, now you got to transfer that over either onto your computer or onto your cell phone.
Right.
I mean, just, you know, it's just a lot of, I get just a lot of pressure testing on some technology that was around, but right. Yeah, it worked. And the work from home thing, it's still got some issues.
You know,
not everybody, and we've had on our staff, not everybody does well in a work from home environment.
Yeah.
But it's just a new thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a change. And so we've adopted to the change. And we think that, you know, obviously I think some people will start coming back at some point in time in 2021. So, you know, it'll be, I think it's intuitive to think that at least for the next 5-10 years, if I had to bet, there's going to be a hybrid.
Right.
You know, I don't know if we ever go back to, you know, full up.
Right.
Everybody's going to work at a place every single day.
I mean, if you don't have to, why would you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where's the benefit if you don't have to, if people can function just as well at home? And what I think is funny, what we were just talking about, is that a lot of the stress of the whole work from home shift didn't end up falling on the business as much as I think we thought it was going to. Because like you said, we were all worried about, will the technology work? Will we be able to pivot? Will we get what we need to get in order for people to communicate and still do their job the same way?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for us, you know, there was a learning curve, but I think we all figured it out. Really, where the stress ended up happening is, and this is strictly because of the pandemic, where people were going to work from home in situations that were less than ideal. You know,
yes,
if your children were running around,
right?
You know, if your spouse was also working from home and you didn't have the space for both of you to set up, like that's a whole different story than just, you know, in a normal time frame, in a normal setting where you can say, hey, you're allowed to work from home if you want to. Your children aren't going to be there screaming at you all day long or demanding to watch something on TV, or you're trying to teach them or get them to do their homework. Your spouse isn't going to be with you fighting over who gets to use the office and who has to sit, you know, at a table in the bedroom or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Ideally, like, it's not going to be that way.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think that's been the real stress test, has been more on the worker themselves trying to figure out. How do I make this happen for myself?
Oh, yeah.
And not necessarily the, like, I never felt like I had any particular issues with the technology side of things. Like, all right, take my computer home, connect to the VPN.
Zippity-doo.
We've got Teams now. We can do Zooms. Okay, we're good.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, that stuff was easy. But, you know, it was the part where, my toddler is running around me and saying, Daddy, every 5 minutes, you know, want something else to watch. Daddy, I want something to eat. You know, like that was where the challenge really lied there.
Yeah. So. Well, so let's riff on this concept then, because I think with every good, I guess, you know, work from home, there's going to be potentially some negatives that come out of it. So as I think about, you know, the future and how people are going to be working, you know, we've talked about also the gig economy and the fact that there's a lot of that is creeping into everyday life, not just Uber drivers and DoorDashers, but genuine professionals.
Right.
So do you see a world where, you know, since we have a lot of people working from home now, even those people become gig workers, even at the professional level,
right,
even at a place like Blue Star or an accounting firm or a legal firm or whatever. I guess what I'm thinking of is employers now will ramp up employees via a gig economy as they need, you know, as things. So there's a little bit of a downside there in the sense that, oh, I go to work for a company, I go in every day, you know, I have work to do, and that's, you know, gone are the days, I guess, where you would work at the same company for 30, 40 years, the generation before us, but still some comfort in being an employee. I think that employees need to be worried or need to be cognizant of the fact that a gig economy is real and what that would mean to their lives. You know, a lot of people maybe aren't comfortable with gigs. You know, I'm going to be in this role, in this position. So, you know, you might have employers say, well, I need a bookkeeper for 6 months.
Right.
And then, okay, that's my gig for 6 months. And then you're done. You know, your contract is over.
Right.
You're done with that. What do you think about the prevalence of more gig workers coming out of a work from home environment. You see where I'm going with
that? Yeah, I do. And you're right. And I can see the flaws of it. And mm-hmm. I can also see some positives. I think if from the flaw side, it's kind of exactly what you laid out. The idea that there are some people that are never going to be comfortable with the idea of not having a steady job.
Right.
I know where I'm working a year from now, as long as I don't screw up, or something goes wrong with the company.
Business seems to be good. I can reasonably expect that I'm going to be employed next year.
Right. Versus, you know, oh man, I may have a job for, you know, like you said, a couple weeks, a few months, and then suddenly need something new.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to depend a lot on if that gig economy becomes strong enough that most people feel comfortable that there's always going to be a new gig around the bend for them.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, like I think of like we're using some freelance designers and copywriters right now.
Sure.
You know, some of the work I would prefer to be doing, but I'm doing a podcast. <It's> like, you know, I love writing. We've talked about this before. And, right. you know, and I, you know, I initially kind of started winding my way into where I'm at now by doing a lot of writing projects for us for some of our ebooks.
Yep.
And, you know, and I've reached a point where I don't have quite the time, you know, or volume for that as much as I could. So we've been farming that to some, you know, some freelancers. And, you know, we're keeping them busy with steady work. But you're right. If suddenly that shifted, you know, if in the next year or two we decided, hey, you know, content marketing is not where it's at anymore. I hope not, because I, you know, I literally changed my title to focus on content marketing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if for some reason that happened, like, yeah, does someone like that, like what happens to them? Like, you know, is it something like, I can't imagine that, like, if you're a designer, if you understand the ins and outs of working through Adobe and creating design projects, ebooks, websites, whatever, I can't imagine you're ever going to reach a point where someone doesn't need your services anymore.
No, it's not the not needing of the services. I think you touched on it.
It's just the uncertainty of the job,
right. And the amount of anxiety I think that's going to bring to people's lives,
right.
and the reality of that, and because it's different. I just think it's different, and I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I am not classically trained in any of that stuff, but I know human nature and the way I feel, you know, there's a certain amount of comfort that comes from that. So if we're going into a world where that's up for grabs with some frequency, I just think it adds another layer of anxiety to a world that may have already been kind of being stress test before this hit.
Right.
And the stress test was coming into, you know, if you're a parent of younger kids and trying to juggle all those things, you know, work, home, sports, and all these. I mean, we lead very, you know, demanding, anxious lives to begin with. Now you throw in the fact that, oh, you might not be employed, or because anything can be gigged. We need to get sales up. Let's hire some remote sales workers for 6 months and see if we can get sales up. And if it works, great. Okay. And maybe they'll stick around. Maybe they won't. Don't know.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a different world. And I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see where this goes, where the whole thing goes. And I don't know if that's a part of the, We've clearly as a society answered the question, yes, people can work from home, not everybody, blah, 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 but you can.
Right.
Okay, now what?
Right.
What impact does that have moving forward?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
I guess, I think also where maybe my, you know, concern lies too is like, do we need to be rethinking? And I feel like these conversations are happening. I know there's been some talk about what's going on with Uber, like in California, you know, with how the gig workers are treated and whether, you know, they're considered as employees or not, you know, and you know, do they then qualify for healthcare or for whatever benefits, you know, or 401k plans, stuff like that, even though they're, you know, still considered a gig worker of sorts, where, you know, you're still working steadily for a company technically, but you are also, you know, working in a situation where your income and your volume of work can flow up and down depending on need at the time, depending on, you know, demand. So I'm curious, like, does that mean that we maybe have to start having a conversation around how we're paying gig workers? You know, like, is there going to be a template? Is there going to be some kind of, you know, are you going to see more companies like the Ubers of the world and in the design world, like Fiverr or whatever, you know, that are, you know, designed to gather people together in this gig world and help farm them out and help you connect, you know, businesses connect to people? Or is it something where people are going to be able to start doing it more on their own?
We're trying to figure it out as a society.
Because I think that's the huge problem right now.
Here's my telltale sign that we are trying to figure this out as a society. I'm going to give you a couple use cases.
Okay.
So my kids, you know, so the gig economy is definitely working, I think, for, I'm going to say, 25-year-olds and younger. It is very much in their acceptability that they just hop on DoorDash. I mean, so my daughter, who's 18, with a couple of her friends. One of her friends, a DoorDasher. They had a great time the other night just running around DoorDashing.
Right.
And so it's three girls in a car, you know, just driving around.
I would have done that when I was a kid. I know I would. I would have thought it was awesome.
They're listening to music. They're chatting. Yep. One girl runs into whatever, Applebee's, grabs the food, DoorDashes it. And then, you know, they were just had a blast for like 2 hours. They made money.
Right.
And they're like just tickled pink about the whole thing. So you have now a generation of people that are used to that. And so maybe the gig economy is going to be okay there. Whereas people in my generation and older, gig economy? No, I need a job. You know, I can't.
Well,
I'm not just going to log
depend
in.
On your home situation.
It is. But let me give you my other use case, because this just happened to us yesterday. And here's why our society is still trying to figure out this gig economy. So we did, for the third time, we ordered groceries but had them delivered. My wife works too. And so, anyway, I've been trying to convince her for months now, honey, just, you know, to have it delivered.
Right,
you know,
right.
Can you do it? So we had it delivered yesterday. And the person who delivered our food, it was a woman, a little bit older than us, delivered our food in a Porsche. Like a Porsche SUV. And it's like, and so I get home and Patty is like, she's like, you'll never guess who delivered our groceries. I'm like, yeah, what? A woman in a Porsche. And I'm like, what? A woman in a Porsche? That's not exactly what I don't know. There's my use case. I don't know what to do with that.
Right.
But we got people that are driving $80,000 cars doing grocery delivers. Is that?
Exactly. What does that mean?
Something's out of whack. We're still trying to figure that out. I don't know what her situation is.
Right.
If she's a stay-at-home mom and just looking for some extra cash.
Right.
Needed to get out of the house. Who knows? But what it tells
me is
that I can
afford my Porsche, but I don't have the extra cash.
We haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, that's just it. Because you're right. It's something that is going to depend on your age, your comfort, your home situation. I mean. Right. Like, you know, my wife and I have talked about this. Like, she said, hey, if I made enough money, I'd be happy to let you quit your job, your regular job, and, like, just focus on writing, freelance, you know, start a podcast of your own or whatever it is you want to do.
Right.
But that's, you know, wish fulfillment, you know. Yep. It's, you know, and it would require her to get to a certain level of income in her job, you know. And then also there's the thing of, like, you know, do I ask her to be the one to do that? Should I be the one to do it and let her do her thing, you know? Because, you know, I think most, you know, a household where there are, you know, parents and children, most of them are not going to be able to stop and think to themselves, hey, can we both become gig workers and just hope we have a steady stream of money to pay all the bills and keep our kids fed?
I don't know, but maybe that's a part of our current mindset.
Right.
I don't know. It's going to be fascinating.
I'm not saying that shouldn't happen. Like, maybe that's the point. Maybe, like, we should be able to get to that point. But you've got to somewhere along the way then either make people feel like they can comfortably get new gigs regularly.
Yeah, I'm with you
there. They'll be paid enough for doing so. And then they'll also have access to healthcare, savings plans, the perks that you get for being, you know, employed with a steady employment with an employer too.
Yeah.
So a lot of questions to solve.
Yeah. Sorry for the sidebar there, but it was just rolling around in my head when I thought about the whole work from home. It'll be really intriguing to see how this manifests itself in our society in 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
I agree.
This
is something I feel like we could easily revisit like a decade from now.
Oh yeah.
And be like, so here's what we were wondering about, and here's what's happened since. And I have a feeling that a lot of it we weren't necessarily expecting or were surprised by that happened. So.
Well, and on that note, because, you know, I know in the show notes here, we were reflecting on the pod. It'll be funny, and we should just make it a note to go back in 10 years and listen to this podcast, because I went back and listened to like our first podcast, even on this one, which was just a shocking 8 months ago or whatnot. It's funny. I mean, even some of the stuff that we were talking about then, right when the pandemic was hitting, it's really I'm one of those people that likes to go back and look at things like that.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Then
let's shift over and reflect a little bit on the pod. You know, and I think first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to some of the people that have made this pod happen. You know,
absolutely.
Our viewers, our listeners are used to you and me. You know, they know we're part of this.
Now, can I set the stage here real quick
before
you start giving shout-outs? We had no idea what we were doing this time last year. I mean, nobody in our staff knew how to put on a podcast, what the technical aspects were around it. We knew we had some great people on staff, but we didn't have this that we have or anything like that.
It's not like we went out and hired people like that knew how to do a podcast.
Well, that's the Blue Star way. You know, we didn't bring in an expert. We just leaned on each other, which is the good news here. The team effort that it has taken to pull this off.
Well, and I think, you know, here's the thing. I think a big part of it is what you and I are both podcast listeners. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a podcast fanatic. I'm always listening to podcasts. I love them. So it made sense to me to be like, all right, I love podcasts. I've always wanted to do a podcast anyway, mm-hmm. for as long as I've been listening to them, you know, for the couple years that, you know, right. the few years that podcasts have been like really a thing.
Yeah. Right.
But like, I think there was also the fact that like we were both excited about doing this. We were passionate about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had ideas in mind. We knew what we wanted to do. And then you're right. And then we went out and grabbed some people from our staff and said, hey, can you help us make this happen? So first, I want to give a shout out to Marco. Mark Ryan, our producer. You've heard him on a couple episodes
Extraordinaire.
Recently.
Yes.
He is the man that is always in the background, off screen. We know when if you're watching the video and you see us staring at you, behind that video is a guy who is running the boards, who listens to all of our flubs, fixes stuff, makes edits, mm-hmm. Whatever we ask him to do. He's been on top of it, so very much appreciate him.
But podcast producer was not on his title.
It was
this time last
year. It is now.
Update
your resume, Marco.
You're done a fantastic job.
You're not allowed to look for another job, but yeah, I'm just saying, put that out there as a skill on your, as a perk for yourself there.
Yeah, he's a good one.
So I got to definitely give credit to him. Sam Kalani, our staff writer, she popped up on our Pop Culture Tech episode.
Researcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who she does great research for us. She's that person that whenever we, I've got a topic like, hey, I need some just random articles and stuff about this that we can talk about and I can do some research from rather than have the time to go out to do it myself.
And you know what's cool about that?
She comes back for it.
She loves research.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah, give me something. It's like a little, like a hungry dog. You know? Oh, you got something for me to research? Good.
Yeah,
let's go.
Exactly.
She all comes back with awesome stuff.
Gives us great stuff. Yeah. And she's our social media guru, too. So, if you've ever come across a post about one of our podcasts on LinkedIn, that is her, on the Blue
Star
LinkedIn.
She's chatting it up. Yep. Mm-hmm.
She gets that information out there ready to tell people about it. So thank you, Sam. We appreciate your effort.
Yep.
James Cordy, I want to talk about him briefly, even though he hasn't been quite as part of much of the podcast on a regular basis now. At the very beginning, he was one of the kind of the original crew that helped us kind of map out what the show was going to look like, helped us create some of our original branding and logos, made some recommendations about, just kind of like what this should feel like from a digital marketing perspective.
Yep.
And he's, been on the show 3 or 4 times and helped us out with some episodes. He's been that person we could turn to in a pinch if we needed a guest and bring him in.
We all lean on Cordy.
We do. Yes, very much so.
I mean, luckily he has broad shoulders.
Yeah,
so
he's
one of the
unsung heroes of this company in so
100%,
many ways. People don't know. Yeah. And then of course, all of our guests and our sponsors, Elo, Epson, Honeywell, Zebra, Star.
Yep.
At the beginning of the year, we went out to our vendors and said, hey, we're putting on a podcast. Who wants to help us out with this?
You guys are doing what?
Yeah. And I'm sure some of them probably were like, really? We're like, well, you can have a couple guests on. We'll talk about some stuff. And they probably still were like, what?
What?
Yeah. Hopefully not saying that anymore. Hopefully they're not at this point in the year going, why did we spend money on this? Like, why did we help Blue Star out with this and lend our people to help out with this. But, hopefully you think it was beneficial. We definitely appreciate your assistance. We appreciate all of the amazing people that work for you that have come on the show.
Yep.
All of our other guests.
Lent their expertise. Yeah,
exactly. All of our other guests from the world of software, resellers, just smart people. Dean and I, we're relatively intelligent, but there's a lot of stuff that we acknowledge.
A lot of stuff we don't know
anything about.
Absolutely.
So we have to bring these guests in here to help us understand that. Yeah. We very much appreciate it.
And we're building. I think when you look into 2021, we'll be building on that. We're going to be leaning on more subject matter experts that come out of our sponsors and their ecosystems. It's just critical for all of us. So it's good news that's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, what have we learned from doing a podcast? And what do we recommend for anybody else that maybe... I've actually had a couple of people reach out to me and say, hey, I'm starting a podcast. Mm. What do you guys... what do you guys recommend? I'm like, seriously, I've only been doing this for like 8 months. Do you think I'm an expert? Like, it may look like it. Maybe... I guess we come off looking like we're professionals, but, it's been fly by the seat of our pants at times, at least in the early days, it certainly was. I think now we've got a formula for it. So I think for me, I've learned a lot about, how to... kind of like how to manage the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got into a good place now where it is very easy to, when we know there's an episode come up, like, all right, here's what I need. This is the research needs to be done. Mm-hmm. I need to get together a cue sheet of some topics. I need to reach out to this person, schedule this person, figure out this day that we're doing that, figure out what our ads are going to look like at the end of the episode, get our topics together. Like, I think what, and that's my biggest recommendation. I think if you're wanting to start a podcast, whether it is about something work-related, whether it's a business, or whether it's just for fun, is to have some kind of flow to your show.
Yes, right.
Have, you know, if it's just rambling for, you know, 2 hours, and granted, maybe sometimes some of what we do sounds like that, especially when it's just you and me. But if you have no real structure to it, it's going to feel that way. And your listeners probably will recognize that too. I've listened to podcasts before. I've been like, oh, this is just like stream of consciousness for a while.
Right.
Versus the ones where I feel like, oh, there was a goal in mind. There was, they had some talking points they really wanted to talk about.
Yep.
You know, I recurring segments were important to me from the beginning because I feel like it's something on the best podcasts I listen to. There's almost always some kind of recurring segment you can expect every episode that kind of ties it together or just gives you something fun like our tech connecting section.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And then just also the other part is kind of what I just mentioned earlier, like make sure that you're working with people that are just as excited and passionate about what you're doing as you
Bingo.
Are.
Yeah.
Like if you are excited about doing a podcast and you're you know, other people aren't, you know, find people that are because it will be so much smoother and easier and more exciting when you've got other people with you that
100%
that genuinely
agree.
Enjoy doing it.
100% agree. And that would be the next shout out goes to John Martin for being a part of this. Come on now.
Thanks.
There is nobody better, I don't think, in the channel that doing a podcast, arranging it, the process, everything like that. Dude, yeah, you got it down. But it is
big praise. I appreciate that.
It is so important, though, because I think that draws a professional type of podcast that our listeners that it will continue to build will appreciate there. And I'll also tap on the only thing that you didn't touch on that I had on my list would be what recommend is the content. You know, spend some time thinking about what your listeners want to hear about, what you guys are good at talking about, you know, what you would have an opinion about, those types of things. Content's important.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think, we're going to scrum, you know, maybe later about 2021 and how we can do different things. But anyway, content's always important, right? The topics.
I completely agree. And, you know, and that's kind of goes back to also the guests that you bring on too, which, you know, there's plenty of successful podcasts where it's just a couple of people talking.
Mm-hmm.
I do always think two people were important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever heard a podcast that was just
single
one
person
the entire time.
No,
that
you need somebody to
kind
play
of
off
you.
Of. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So you need to have that other person. And if it's just going to be the two of you, you have to have that great relationship to have that back and forth conversation to be able to hold it up. But especially I think in the business world, if you're doing a business podcast, anytime that you can grab people from your world to come in and talk and share their insight and share different points of view is brilliant. There's no reason not to do that if you can do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I think we touched on the things that I would recommend. The other thing, though, was interesting as I thought about that, when we looked back at the notes, it was interesting to see which one of our episodes, you know, came out a little bit above some of the other ones.
Right.
Were you interested in that?
I was, yes.
I mean, cannabis, obviously, was one that was a hot topic.
Yes.
Interesting. We knew kind of going into it would be a hot topic. Man, it was a really hot topic.
Yeah.
It was really well played. Maybe a little bit on the sense that Dwayne was really good at promoting it.
Right.
Digital transformation in healthcare was another.
That was one of our early ones.
One of the early ones. Well. That's right. And obviously, a lot of people were interested in what's going on in healthcare and how is this pandemic affecting it. And then finally, contactless payments. That was another good,
which is a fairly recent one.
Was a fairly recent one.
And again, the one that I feel like the folks we had with us, you know, helped us go out and promote that. So I guess there's another recommendation for you if you're starting a podcast. Work with people that are going to be excited about talking about your podcast.
Yeah, no doubt.
So like if you have a guest on,
agreed,
make sure it's somebody that, you know, and granted, you know, we do that whenever we do a podcast. Like we always send it out to the people that joined us and tell them, hey, this is coming. Mm-hmm. We're promoting it here. Please, you know, share and promote yourself. And you know, and I think when you do find those folks that will do that and actively get out and push it out on their
helps
social
to amplify,
networks,
exactly.
Yeah. The messages get amplified more; it draws more eyes in, more people that even if they just watch that one episode, you never know when you know if 10 people watch one episode, one person might decide, hey, hit subscribe, I want to check this out. You know, this is something I'm going to listen to more in the future.
Yep.
And I think maybe that's where it leads me. Maybe one other recommendation I have, which is, don't expect to be a giant successful podcast overnight.
Well, no.
Like any creative
numbers
endeavor.
Have to be realistic.
Right.
I mean, I think the average podcast has somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 to 200, you know, concurrent or loyal, shall I say, podcast listeners. And so, you know, it's not unless you feel like you're going to be Joe Rogan, I guess, who's going to have million followers. I think you'd have to do some crazy stuff in order to get there.
How long has Joe Rogan's show been on, too?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the most, usually the... the most successful podcasts that have thousands and thousands and millions of listeners are the ones that have either been at it for a long time or are part of a network and a marketing, you know, machine that whenever a new podcast comes out, like, bam, everybody's watching. You know, like NPR has gotten really good at their, they've got a whole podcast network.
Yeah, but so basically if NPR puts a new one out,
when there's a new one out, they know they have a built-in audience that will come check it out from the beginning regardless.
Well, then here's my recommendation. Don't worry about the audience size.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the goal of the podcast is to have a conversation, to transfer knowledge, to educate, for some thought leadership amongst, you know, a group of people and listeners. You know, you'll have followers that'll be loyal, and it's about the information that you're conveying and stuff like that. It's not about how many people, because honestly, I don't know that the whole world's interested about our channel.
No, they're not.
But the people that are in our channel are very interested about what's going on in this world and how they can grow their business and thrive and survive and all those kinds of things. So there's the quality is much higher, whereas the quantity might not be there.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, maybe the quality of our listeners is better than Joe Rogan, although he's got millions of listeners.
That's right.
Was that a bold claim? That's a bold claim.
It was maybe a little on the bold side, yeah.
Get
but who's gonna substantiate it?
Exactly.
Not like Joe Rogan's gonna come in here and, you know, show us like 20 of, you know, a couple hundred of his listeners that
are better. Yeah.
Exactly. So
all right, so what are we gonna do differently?
Is there anything we would have done differently? From the beginning.
I don't know. You got an answer to that? I mean, I can think of some things now, like one of the
times I wrote a question and didn't bother thinking of an answer.
One of the things that I, in hindsight, I do like, I think we only brought a reseller on once so far this year.
Yes.
And I think we should do more of that.
Right. I agree with that.
Because I think we had great subject matter experts, no doubt about it. But when it was our episode on the modern DC, I think, which got really good viewership.
We had one for the cannabis episode too.
Oh, all right. Good point. So we did have two resellers on. So I think that's one thing just in my mind that, if we do it differently, bringing on some more folks, resellers, again, you know, I used to be a reseller. I know I keep saying that, but resellers learn from resellers and there's just good transformation of information that happens there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's one differently thing, but I don't know. What about, can you think of anything? Spark anything for
you? It really didn't. Like I said, it was one of those questions I wrote down thinking like, do we have something for this?
How about this? I'm going to throw another one at you then. Do you think the podcast should bring in hired guns? Like hired people to try to get... to try to get either their viewership or make them feel like they're quantifying themselves or justifying themselves that they can bring in and literally pay somebody to be on their podcast, which we haven't done.
I don't know that
it
I'm a fan of
it. Kind
of
feels like buying a Twitter audience, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's just like, do you need to do that?
I mean, I guess like you could do it and it works, but like, here's the thing though. Like if someone comes and listens to that one show just because they want to hear that one person and that person's able to promote it, that doesn't mean they're going to stick around for everything else.
Right.
I mean, you know, maybe they do, but, you know, it could be it's just a one-off thing. You don't have to subscribe, you know, to listen to one episode, but we want you to subscribe, just so you know. But I'm just saying, you know,
so if we bring on in George Lucas just to get the audience.
Well, I mean, that we would do that just because it's fun.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
For our sake. I don't know.
We can't afford him, but anyway.
Let me put it this way. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it, you know, if we had somebody that was going to, but here's the thing. To me, it's more about if it's someone that is going to meaningfully contribute to your show and to what you're trying to do and to what you have to offer to your audience by getting them on. Go for it.
All
you got to pay a little money to do it.
Fair enough.
If you're doing it strictly
for audience,
you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Not a good idea.
Because if you don't have a podcast that can, you know, grow that kind of audience and build it on your own as it is and keep them there, then what's the point? Because again, that spike, maybe it gets you a little more attention, bumps you up the rankings or whatever in Apple Podcasts or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe someone finds you a little more organically in the future, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's probably other podcasters that would tell you, yes, do it in a heartbeat, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of indifferent to it. Now, maybe we do it sometime and it works like gangbusters and suddenly we've got the podcast and, you know, we are the number one podcast in the IT reseller channel.
I'm with you. The reason for doing it has to be justified.
Right.
Yeah. Because I do think, you know, it certainly is in our purview. If there is the right person that we should have them on this podcast, but we have to pay for them to be here. If it's right for the audience.
Yeah.
That's not a bad decision.
Yeah. If you told me that I could have someone like really speak to something that is so relevant and so important to our audience that people were going to want to hear about and they're the absolute ideal person. They said, hey, I need a couple hundred bucks or a couple grand or something to come do this that day. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. You know?
And so there's a good segue, if I could, real quick, sure, to not just what we might do differently in 2021, but what the audience needs to do differently.
Yeah.
So, here's my challenge. We need more feedback.
Yes.
Right
we
where
do.
You were just at, you know, what, you know, to our loyal listeners, and thank you so very much. Drop us a line, you know, tweet us, give us some ideas about where, if you want us to bring on somebody and hire somebody, we will do it, you know, if it makes sense to our audience. But that's what we should work on differently as a group here, for those that are listening to us. Just, you know, chat us up.
Also, like, if you do like the podcast, and even if it's just a single episode you found useful, share it with somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and especially in the reseller world, mm-hmm, this was something I was fond of when I was in sales is, you know, I learned that if I came across an interesting article or an interesting piece of information that I thought one of my customers might be interested in, mm-hmm, didn't have to have anything to do with me trying to sell them something that day.
You just shared it.
It's about being, you know, someone that someone feels they can rely on, that's trusted, that understands their industry, understands their problems. I would share that with them. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was just reading this article about, you know, what's going on in publishing around, you know, digital ebooks or whatever. Mm-hmm. When I was working my publishing days. You know, fascinating article, thought you might want to see it. It sounds a lot like something we talked about. Send it over to them.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to end with like, by the way, you want to schedule a time to talk about blah, blah, blah solutions? No. You just send it to them and say, thought you might be interested in this.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised how often that opens up a conversation and someone engages with you. And maybe you don't get anything out of it in that conversation, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, monetary wise. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it could be very well. That's just something that person thinks, man, I like working with them because they're just a cool person to talk to and have some interesting ideas, regardless of whether, you know, I'm buying something from them or not.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate. You know, if you listen to one of these, say you're listening to Digital Signage 101, you're like, mm-hmm, man, this is pretty cool. You know, I've got some customers that aren't sure they want to invest in this. I'm going to send them this podcast.
Yep.
I'm going to have them listen to this and say, hey, I was listening to these guys. They have a great breakdown of, you know, how to start using digital signage,
how to get into it,
how beneficial it can be. I thought you might want to check this out.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, we talk a lot to our resellers about how they can make money, but doesn't mean there's not nuggets in there that someone else could find useful too.
Fair enough. So that's my challenge for 2021.
I completely agree.
Get some fan engagement going.
If you thought you were getting off the hook, dear listeners, you're not.
You are complicit in this.
Yes.
That's right.
If you're watching, you are now part of this podcast.
So that's the 2021 challenge. But what are some predictions there, my friend? Where's this crazy world going to go in 2021?
I don't know. Like, this is another one of those things I wrote down. I'm like, do I have any predictions? Like, because I feel like we've kind of touched on a lot of this stuff. I mean, I think we know by now, and especially just in the last couple of weeks, there's been some really good, you know, hopeful news about vaccines.
Yes.
You know, we've got a couple that are out there that have a high efficiency rate, a high effectiveness rate, that it seems expected that, you know, people are going to be able to start getting vaccinated as early as, you know, end of this year, beginning of next year. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we all know by now, like, you know, they keep strongly telling us, everybody's not going to get there. Everybody that wants one is not going to get there for some time. Mm-hmm. You know,
but there's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly. But that's, I think, the bigger point is right now is to recognize that, like, when we started this thing months ago, mm-hmm, it was very much we do not know how long this whole thing is going to last.
No clue.
I think we were optimistic at first, like, oh, this is just going to be a little bit of time until we get this under control.
Yeah.
And then we realized it's not that simple. Now there's no end in sight. Mm-hmm. So now we're getting to the point where, like, there is an end in sight, but it is going to require some time and patience.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a lot more of what we've already been doing for a lot longer time before we get to where we feel comfortable again.
Yeah.
You know, and to your point, there's a lot of things that still may not be as they were for years.
Yeah, and that's the prediction there, and the concern, I guess, you know, coming out of this is the again, I'll just read it. It's the significant tale of mental health needs. You know, mm-hmm, you can't go through an economic downturn like we did, and some of the social changes that we're going through here in the U.S. and a pandemic, and not have some kind of remaining mental health, you know, considerations, whether it's depression, whether it's isolation for older adults, whether it's PTSD. Again, I'm not a psychotherapist or anything like that, but I can definitely see this having lasting effects there, moving not just into next year, but beyond. So,
well, you know, I hear from people that, you know, like, obviously, you know, we're married, we've got children, you know, we've got people in our lives to be with, you know, when we're stuck inside, then we're stuck with this, you know.
Right.
And granted, you know, for some people, maybe that's not a great thing always either. Like, you know, you want to get away from people from time to time. Maybe, you know, maybe you do get actually tired of your family after a while.
Right.
I'm not saying I do. I very much love spending time with my family. But, you know, there is people that I know that are single and like have to live by themselves. And we're not even like where we are, I feel like is even less of a, not a, it's not that it's not a concern, but like, you know, I really feel bad for like someone who lived in New York or LA, like the hotbeds of this early and earlier in the year where it genuinely was something to be feared to just go out and about. Like, you know, like you went out for a walk your pet or something or whatever, but you know, you could not be trusted or trust to go just anywhere and just hang out with any other people at all, you know, and feel comfortable about that. And you're right. There's a lot of people, I think, that in that situation, you know, a lot of single people of varying ages that had to sit at home, ingest tons of information, you know, that was a lot of doom and gloom for a very long time. And you're right. I think it's going to weigh on a lot of people. And, you know, I feel like there is a mental health crisis before there was a pandemic that needs to be addressed and isn't addressed as much as it should be, is stigmatized sometimes.
Yep.
And it's only going to be exacerbated by what's happened over the last year.
Well, and so we need to continue to help each other, right?
That's
the only way a society moves forward is that you can't, you know, don't wait for somebody else to answer some of these problems. Sometimes you have to get into the livelihoods of those that are around you and help out. And I think that we'll be stronger for it coming out of it. But when you think about what our society has been through in the past, you know, not just, you know, a past pandemics, but wars that are, you know, like World War II. I think back to that generation, what they had to go through, the struggles that they had to go through, and just everybody rallying around and things like that. It, you know, the human spirit's there, and we will continue to endeavor on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Look at that positivity there.
Yeah, absolutely.
do you have any resolutions? Are you a resolution guy?
I'm not a resolution guy.
I'm not really either.
Yeah, sorry about that. No, I mean, okay, so maybe when I see the ball drop, I'll think, yeah, but here's the bad part about me personally. My short-term memory is like the worst. And you'd ask anybody in my family, my wife at the top of the list, you know, Dean's short-term memory is terrible. So I will literally probably forget it that night when I resolve to do, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to, whatever it was I would resolve to do, I will forget about it. Now, that's not to say that if I don't get into something, whatever, you know, I'll be all in and that. But yeah, resolution's not really me.
Yeah,
I've never really been a big
fan of them either. Like, you know, if the only thing I was thinking earlier was I want to get back into reading and writing more.
Okay.
And you know, reading especially, like it's funny because you heard so many people talk about like, hey, it's pandemic time, we're all locked down, we're gonna watch all the shows and read all the books. Which I guess if you don't work a 40-hour week job, you know, like if you were unfortunate enough to have lost your job or, you know, simply can't do the kind of work you were doing before and are, you know, have to stay at home and you're, you know, comfortable enough doing that, you know, and in a good position where it's not something to be, you know, stressing about necessarily, like that would have been great. But yeah, like I, you know, didn't have that time, you know, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to read more. So I feel like my reading really fell off the charts this year. Like
counterintuitive. You would thought,
exactly. More time. I have not been reading nearly as much as usual. So I'm hoping I can get back to that a little bit more next year. I'm always on there's an app called Goodreads. Like it's a community for readers or whatever. And they always have a challenge every year. You set a challenge of how many books you're going to read. And I think I set mine at like 15 for this year. And I've still got like 5 to go. So it's probably not going to happen unless I do some really short, quick stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to set myself a challenge next year and meet it. And then the writing part of things is not just for work, although, you know, I mentioned earlier, like, I haven't been able to write as much the stuff I like to write for us, but just personal writing. I want to start doing a little bit more of that next year. But,
good for you.
But I'm not going to call those resolutions because that implies, like, you know, if I fail, like, I have to beat myself up and be down on myself. Like, just recognizing, like, this is the stuff I want to try to do more of. I'm going to make a conscious effort to do more of it. But if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to beat myself up at it either.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, and that's where I guess, like these annual resolutions, I'm not into that. I'm more into like daily resolutions. Yeah. I mean, here's what I'm going to try to accomplish. And that
today
kind of,
I'm going to get out of bed.
It's a smaller chunk that to me seems more manageable than some, oh, this year I'm going to whatever. I'm going to be an accountant or I'm going to
climb Everest. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, maybe I'll get there someday. I don't know.
Yeah, good luck. All right. I think that does it for us for like the year in review.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have we kind of put most of 2020 to bed?
I hope so. Yeah.
A month and a half early. Talking about putting the cart before the horse.
Well, like, you know, and everybody talks about it between Thanksgiving and the holidays. It's usually always kind of a coast period, you know, right. where businesses are just kind of just maintaining, keeping the lights on, stuff like that. Well, around here, it's not been.
Right.
But I think this year, more than ever, it will be a coasting. Like, right. you know, oh my gosh, like just whatever we can do to get to the end of the year. And I don't want to build up the end of the year because it's just a day. You know, right. we're going to wake up on January 1st and we're still going to be in a pandemic.
Right.
We're still going to, all these things are still going to be.
I wish
there,
it was right? that awesome. Wouldn't it be awesome if you turn that calendar like, well,
yes,
we're
well,
done.
Well, there you go.
That sucked. We're done. You know,
see, the picture on the calendar is different.
Yeah, so, exactly. look, this guy in this picture is happy. He's not worried about a pandemic. He didn't lose his job. He's not struggling to get by.
He's on the beach.
Good.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's not an employee, a teacher, a bartender,
right.
Whatever. You know,
right. Yeah.
This
he's
person
not
doing
out there
everything.
Every yeah. day putting his life on the line. No, he's good.
If only. If only. But it'll be like a mental note. It'll be like a milestone, right?
Right?
We made it through 2020.
Exactly.
We made it through. 2021 cannot be any worse.
I mean, let's be honest. This is going to be the year that when we are old fogies, we're going to telling
everybody
about, like,
oh yeah,
I lived through 2020. Yeah.
My 9-year-old daughter is gonna get on that bandwagon too. Well, when I was 9, I through a the impact on her life has been pretty minimal. But you know.
I wonder what stuff we're gonna exaggerate. Like, you know, like our grandparents exaggerated about stuff. Like, you know, I had to walk, uphill both ways in the snow to school. I wonder what kind of stuff we're gonna be like. You know, I had to. I couldn't get toilet paper for a week,
Well, that's not stretching the truth, though.
That's true. That's a good point.
You got to come up with stretching, like something like this.
I had to use newspapers.
I had to pickle pig's feet to live. That would be a little bit of a stretch, maybe.
Right.
You can use that one, by the way, in 20 years. Yeah,
I will.
Oh, no, we had to pickle pig's feet in order just to survive.
That's right. All right, well, we are going to put this stuff aside. We are going to talk a little bit more about 2020 in a moment, but the fun stuff of 2020 in a moment.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, as always, again, I want to thank our founding members. Could not do this show without you. Thank you so much for your support this year, and hopefully next year.
Absolutely.
We don't have any plans to stop doing this. I don't, at least. If I'm doing it by myself in here, I'll still do it.
The bill's in the mail, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Bills in the mail. But we do want to hear from you. As Dean mentioned earlier, we want your feedback. Yep. We want your insight. We want to know what topics you're interested in, what you would like us to talk about, what you would like to do, kind of guests maybe you'd like to hear on the show. So please reach out to us. You can find us on Twitter at TechConnectPod. You can email us techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right, well, we are going to wrap things up with a kind of a special version of What's Tech Connecting with
Yes.
You. It's all been fun stuff here at the end of the year to wrap
Yes.
up. So I wanted to, this is one of those things where I'm going to talk about how nerdy I am.
Okay.
I really haven't done this much the last couple
of
years.
That's okay. The Band-Aid's been ripped off. Everybody
True.
Understands it.
We already have the Star Wars episode
right.
at this point.
Exactly.
So I'm a big fan of lists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of making lists.
Okay.
Like of my top this, top that, stuff
okay.
like that.
Okay, fair enough.
Sucker for that stuff.
Sucker for it, yeah.
Well, every year, now granted, I have not done that yet for this year, but for a long time, I would always make a list of like my top 10 movies, top 10 TV. I think I'm just going to throw movies out this year because...
Did anything come
all
out?
Like three yeah. new movies
right.
I may have seen this year,
right.
and whatever, and like top music of the year. Now I also am a big fan of I always make a playlist of my favorite music every year.
Wow!
Back in the day,
did
I used
you make
to
mixtapes?
I used to burn it to CD. I used to burn it to tapes originally.
Yeah,
or record it on a tape.
Yeah.
Burn it to CDs for a long time.
Oh, you talking about that?
And
like,
I would hand them out. I would give them
like
out
Christmas
to all my
gifts
friends
or
give
whatever.
Christmas
yeah.
gifts,
yeah.
send them Christmas cards. I still make playlists on Apple Music now.
I need to follow you.
I will gladly share that stuff with
okay.
you.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk about like some of our favorite stuff this year, like some of the things that like not work related, not pandemic related, like some of the things that brought us some joy this year. So whether it's movies, TV shows, podcasts, books. Like, what are some of your favorite things from this year that you want people to know about
that we haven't talked about? I am going to go to movies.
Okay.
I'll start there because one movie that hit our house, which was released earlier, it didn't come out this year, but it was Hamilton. Hamilton have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
Love it.
I totally love that. And now I want to go see the play, real. But I don't know what my expectations were going into it. You know, there's a lot of hype around it.
Right.
And I didn't really know the premise of it or anything like that. But it just immediately grabs you and brings you in. What a fantastic play, show, music. I mean, the whole thing. And I'm not into rap and that kind of stuff. But it, man, it pulled it off really well.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about somebody like my mom being able to connect to it, because I just think, you know, there's a lot of riffing that's going on and stuff
like
that.
Very fast paced.
Very fast paced. Yeah.
You really got to keep up. Yeah.
You do. But man, I was pleasantly surprised. And my youngest daughter, Tordy, just loves it. And so for like the, it's had a lot of legs in our house as far as, you know how it goes.
Right.
When you've got kids in the house, something will become a fad inside of your house.
They want to watch it every day for a month.
And,
yeah.
And sometimes they last a week.
Right.
Sometimes they last a month or so. But this one's lasted a while, you know, like months. And nice. It's like we still, you know, the king is my favorite character. So, of course, you know, I'm the one going around, you know.
Do you feel bad that sometimes, like, the guy that you like most are like, this guy is so much fun to watch, is the white dude?
Right. Well, in this particular case, yes. Yeah.
But he is. You're right. Jonathan Groff.
He's stereotypical, and he just nails it.
That guy I've seen in other stuff. Like, he's on a series called Mindhunter that was on Netflix about, like one of the guys that first, like, started tracking down serial killers in the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was used to seeing him in, like, serious roles and had no idea that he had this musical background. I think he was even on Glee apparently in the later years or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. As soon as he comes out, I was like, oh, this guy's fun. Like,
yeah.
This awful version of King George is awesome.
So
sorry, I didn't interrupt you there.
No, it's not an awful. Well, I mean, his portrayal is just, he just nails it. If you
ask
me,
it's an honest portrayal.
It's just hysterical. Yeah. And anyway. But no, that's the one movie that I guess that's been really, you know, kind of connecting to us in our world. Yeah.
Yeah,
A couple series. You know, I guess the good news would be I wasn't really into Netflix. We had Netflix, but the kids were usually the ones on that. You know, top of the list would be Mandalorian. Looking forward to that and consuming that. The Haunting of Hill House. Were you aware of this one?
Yes. Have you watched Bly Manor, the new one yet?
No, haven't gotten to that yet. But that's on the list. Right. You know, during the holidays, we'll probably hit that one. That was a good one. You know, just a little bit on the edge there, a little bit enough to creep you out. A couple jump scares every now and then, but just I'm really impressed by the production value of what Netflix has put, and we're primarily Netflix. I watched a couple things maybe on Prime, Amazon Prime, but really mostly Netflix. Man, really good stuff.
Really
highly produced, well written.
Yeah.
You know, it's not garbage that they're putting out. They're putting out really good stuff.
You would, because I think that was always a perception for a while, is like streaming services, like, hey, they're there to put out. You know, they're there to put your seasons of Friends out or whatever, so you can watch the old stuff that you love. And then when the kind of shift started happening to original content, I think people at first were kind of like,
it's going to be popcorn stuff. It's not going to be good.
But Netflix came out of the gate with like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, like all these like prestige, you know, high production value, strong shows that were like Emmy contenders.
Yeah.
That got a lot of buzz. Like they knew what they were doing out of the gate with that. And I think it's funny that, if you look at it, Netflix's model is mostly about their own content now. Like they've, you know, I think I wouldn't be surprised if in another decade Netflix does not even stream any outside stuff anymore. It's all just
Their stuff.
Their own stuff. Yeah.
Could very well be.
And that's to credit to them, because, you know, just like they saw the writing on the wall and were innovative about, hey, we're gonna do this DVD service thing, but in reality, where we want to go, I love the story of Netflix, the idea of like, hey, we want to get to be a streaming service that people can watch stuff on demand, but we realize we're not there yet, so we're just going to be an on-demand DVD service for a while.
Yeah, brilliant.
And then brilliant. When the technology caught up where they could do that,
they made everybody's that shift. Trying to catch up with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Disney, CBS, NBC, all of them trying to catch up with them.
Now, granted, you could get into the conversation about overload there, but...
Well, definitely. Yeah. And look what you've created now.
We've got to have all
these subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly. But to get back to Hill House, kind of what you mentioned there, the idea that like it's a horror show in the lightest sense possible.
Yes,
like my wife is not a horror person. Like
she will watch
super scary movies, but she enjoyed that. Granted, there's times that she watched it with her iPad in front of her face.
Okay.
But she would still watch that. And the new one, actually the new one's even not even as scary even as that. Like there's even less like scary stuff in the newer season. So
good stuff.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I guess that, you know, when I think about one of my favorite things that's happened this year, and it's I guess people getting back to biking. So I used to bike to work all the time. I have a bike. I don't ride it as much as I'd like to, but I love the fact that people are getting on bikes and getting out there and being a part of that.
Right.
And just because it, to me, it just just means people are getting out. They're using that as a mode of transportation. A little geeky, I guess, in that sense. But man, I love that. I love what's happening or what that says about our society and the fact that it's really hard to find a bike. You know,
they had a shortage for a while.
There's a shortage out there. Yeah, it's hard to find them. Yeah. You know, and if you are a bike store owner, man, business can't be better than it is right now.
It is always interesting. I think we've talked about this before. I always find it fascinating, like what businesses thrive during challenging times for other people. You know, and I feel like sometimes you're never quite sure what that's going to be. Like you might think you know,
right?
But then you realize something like a bike store. Would you have ever imagined
store?
No. I mean, it makes complete sense.
Totally.
When you look back on it.
Yeah.
But right now, but at the beginning, you never would have thought, oh man, those bikers.
That's
those
where
bike
I'm
going to
invest. Yeah.
They're gonna be tearing it up right now.
I'm waiting for the article to come out. Well, I guess the fact that bikes were going to be, you know, when the pandemic hit this, whatever, trying to prophesize that they're this, the end all be all for predicting where you should be investing your money.
Right,
I invested that bike stores are going to be number one thing in 2021. Whatever. How about you?
All right. So I got a list here. I'm not going to go too far in depth in this stuff because I know we're running over our normal amount of time.
Well, Marco's already given us the stink eye.
Yeah, exactly. But look, if you're in it this long, you might as well stick around to the end.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian, same as you. Yeah. Quite pleased that that's come back this year. If you know, and just even just the first three episodes, we talked about it in our Star Wars episode that the way that show is made, the production values, the feel of it, I genuinely feel super excited about Star Wars again because of this show. Yeah.
Thank you to those producers that are doing it right.
Very much. Jon Favreau, who probably most people know from directing the first two Iron Man movies and from being the movie Swingers, he has been one of the driving forces behind it, as well as Dave Filoni, who is one of the guys who did some of the animated shows, which is why there's been some connections between those.
Okay. All right.
So, all right. That one, definitely. Other TV, Lovecraft Country.
Okay, I've heard about it.
This is a show on HBO, which is kind of a horror show too, but it is horror mixed with some commentary about racism in the 50s.
Okay.
And every episode kind of takes a different type of horror genre.
Really?
Puts a spin on it. So every episode, there's an ongoing story, but every episode feels like a different genre of horror kind of. So you've got body horror, you've got ghost stories. You've got Lovecraft style horror, you know, the terrifying, you know, monsters from beyond type stuff. There's one episode that gets into Korean folk tales, fascinating stuff. But what fascinates me about the show also is at the end of the day, racism is still the bigger monster than anything else you see in the entire show.
There you go. You know, right.
Mm-hmm. It's very timely for right now too.
Right. Yeah.
His Dark Materials just came back for a new season. As we're recording this yesterday, mid-November, you know, by the time this episode is out, most of the new season will probably be over with, if not finished, based on a series of books by Philip Pullman, which are kind of like fantasy, but a little bit more, not adult fantasy, I think it's fine for young adult readers, it's considered as young adult, but like a step above like your Harry Potters, for instance.
Okay, gotcha.
There actually was a film called The Golden Compass that came out some years back that adapted the first book very badly. Yeah, did not quite get it right, toned down some of the darker, more controversial elements of the book. But there's been a new series. The first season was last year, was the first book. The second season that started recently is the second book, which to me is the best book of the series. I love these books. Great show. It's basically just about a girl who lives in an alternate universe where our souls are outside of our bodies in the form of animals called demons.
Okay.
So everybody's bonded with a demon.
Demon. Okay.
At birth, that is their representation of their soul that lives outside of their body.
Okay.
And along the way, she finds out about this huge conspiracy that's going on from this very powerful organization that kind of runs our world, that is wanting to dive into other worlds, including ours.
Mm.
Won't spoil much more than that, but it's a very fascinating tale. I'm very excited. The first season I thought was very well done. I'm very psyched to see where the rest of this show goes.
Nicely done. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tune into that.
The Queen's Gambit. Not too far into that yet. My wife and I just started watching it on Netflix, a new series about a girl who becomes a chess prodigy and just kind of follows the trail of her life as she learns the ins and outs of chess and becomes a grandmaster, I believe, of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Movie side. The only thing I can shout out, really, that was new for this year, Onward, the latest Pixar film that came out. I think there's another Pixar movie that might be out by the end of the year, but it went straight to Disney Plus. This was one where they didn't bother with the theater at all.
Yep.
They didn't try premiere access. They went it straight to Disney Plus, or you could stream it and buy it other places.
Why have I not seen that in my household yet? I think it's my daughter's like anti-animation right now. She's going through a phase.
Is she like? Yeah. I didn't think I would like. It was one of those ones I was like, well, I'll give this a whirl with my son at one point, and he loved it. He was fascinated by it because it's all about magic and wizardry.
Okay.
And it's got a fun story about a young man who's wanting to reconnect with his father who passed away before he died or before he was born. So good stuff there.
Good stuff there. Yeah.
Music side, Fiona Apple's new album came out this year. She actually recorded it while she was in lockdown. So it's mostly her. Occasionally her dogs make an appearance in the background. She figured out how to use it in her music.
That's awesome.
I've always been a fan of Fiona Apple. She's always made fantastic, amazing music that I feel like gets better the more and more you listen to it. And this new album is no exception. And then on the podcast side...
Well, hold on. On the music side, the only thing we've been listening to in our house is Harry Styles because, you know, we've got... I've got girls and daughters, and so if it's not Harry...
I promise you, I could not identify Harry Styles' song if it came on.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
And I think I'm okay with that.
I'm an expert. So if you ever need to know information about Harry Styles...
I am
going
to be interested in the day when my son gets old enough to start, you know, making his own musical decisions and choices, like what he's going to be into. Like, because I've already noticed he loved the soundtrack for that Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie, which is a lot of, like, hip-hop, you know, and, like, not normally my style of music necessarily, although I do find that...
We
got to
riff
great.
On that next year, because I struggle with what my kids listen to and it's like are you listening to what they're saying and that I don't know
but don't all parents
well okay oh, fair enough but I go back and listen to the music that I was listening to when my parents were saying that to me and it's not the language it's not the context and content that is in what I'm hearing in a lot of that music today. So anyway, we got to riff on that. We got to unpack.
Maybe that'll
be
a special episode at the end of next year.
Like, oh man.
Let's talk music.
I need to be on the couch. Somebody needs to give me some therapy because my kids, you know, my son will listen to Rush. He'll listen to, rock and roll or whatever. And they love country, you know, so they're very diverse in their music, but it's the hip hop. And it's just it's the rap that I don't understand. And some of the particular artists that they listen to, it's like, whoa, what are you listening to? Anyway, I digress.
You sound like such an old parent.
Oh, I am.
I mean, to be fair, I'm there too. I get it.
I totally am. But I'm listening to the music. So I pull it up and I'm like reading the lyrics and I'm like horrified. I'm like, what are they talking about? What is this? There's no way. I would have gotten excommunicated had I listened to that kind of music back in the day. But anyway.
Yeah, I understand.
You were going to say podcast.
Well, you know, I've mentioned a lot of podcasts throughout our season of episodes that I've been enjoying. One in particular, I will shout out that it's not necessarily brand new, but a podcast called The Greatest Discovery, which is from the makers of another podcast called The Greatest Generation, which is not about World War II veterans.
All right, fair enough.
That World War II generation. It is, as they describe themselves, a couple of guys that are a little bit embarrassed to have a podcast about Star Trek.
Okay, fair enough.
And this was actually one of the first podcasts I really started listening to back when I started listening to podcasts like maybe 4 or 5 years ago at my last job when I had to do some traveling. Mm-hmm. And I at the time, like I think I finally figured out how to listen to podcasts in my car or something. And so I started with the standards like This American Life and Serial, the stuff everybody listens to anyway. Mm-hmm. But this was one of the first random podcasts that I found from some article or whatever that talked about, hey, these guys and I think it was very early on, they'd only had a few episodes in. These guys are watching every single episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and doing a review of each one. Like each one, they just get together and talk about the episode together. And it's mostly comedic. Like, you know, they take a comedic angle. Like they're clearly two guys who love the content.
Uh-huh.
They love Star Trek and they're huge fans.
Right.
But they also acknowledge like, man, there's a lot of stuff you can make fun of in Star Trek too. So they have a lot of fun with it. And it's turned into this enterprise for them. They're very like, these guys are like kind of like heroes to me in the podcast world because they have turned this into their job.
Oh,
like they
wow.
went from being like, I think both of them were like directors and like filmmakers or whatever, you know, on the side who did like a lot of gig work here and there.
Uh-huh.
And then they started making this podcast. It has grown. They got themselves onto a network. They've got thousands, probably tens of thousands of listeners. Hundreds, maybe even hundreds of thousands by this point. You know, and people that are excited about them, they've moved from The Next Generation over to Deep Space Nine. They're almost done with that. But now there's all this new Star Trek shows that are coming out. So they started another podcast.
It's like endless content.
Right. Yeah. And they basically are like, this is our life now. Like they have a third podcast, like about war movies they do with another guy too. Mm-hmm. But like they have two podcasts all about Star Trek where they're always reviewing Star Trek shows. it's still, even after all these years, so much fun. This year ramped up even more than ever because CBS All Access debuted two new Star Trek series over the year, Picard and Lower Decks, mm-hmm. new season of their of Discovery, and it's third season now. And they're just doing all of it. They're having a blast doing it.
That's awesome.
They are very much people that I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah.
It's so much fun listening to that show. And, it's, yeah. And they've got a plus they've got an amazing community built mm-hmm. around it. Like mm-hmm. We call ourselves the Friends of DeSoto. I'm not even going to explain that. But like okay. we're just this huge community around Star Trek yeah. and all these fans that just love to come together and talk about it. And so kudos to those guys for making a great fun podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And way to hit on a niche. I mean, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
So that's the dream right there. You know? I don't know the Tech Connect podcast will quite be that big.
No.
But,
yeah.
Know.
Right. Well, we'll see.
But maybe we can branch out.
There you go.
All right. Well, we have gone on for quite way too long. Hopefully, if you listened all the way to the end, you appreciated all of our ramblings about 2020. I am ready to be done with 2020. As far as this podcast is concerned, we are done.
We're done. There we go.
This is going to be our last episode of
on
the
year. On to bigger and better things.
Right. We will be back in 2021. I don't know exactly when yet. We got to, as Dean mentioned, figure out some things. Find out what we're going to do next. We promise we'll be back.
Though.
We're not going to leave you hanging. I promise you that.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the meantime, hey, if you haven't listened to all the episodes, go back, find some previous episodes you like, share them with some friends, and again, reach out to us and let us know if there's anything that you want to hear more about. So until next time, stay connected. Thank you so much for listening this year.
The Tech Connect podcast is brought to you by Elo. Built with versatility in mind, Elo Edge Connect offers a wide assortment of peripheral options for your digital display. Whether for endless aisle, self-order, or collaboration, you can seamlessly attach up to four peripherals to the touchscreen edge with flexibility to add, remove, or change later as needed. Options include barcode scanners, EMV cradle, customer-facing display, webcam, and more. To learn more, visit Elo's microsite on bluestarinc.com or contact your Bluestar account manager.
Productivity is the name of the game in mobile devices, so Honeywell CT40 XP is the one-stop productivity solution for store associates and mobile workers. The device seamlessly accomplishes daily workflows from inventory lookup and in-store merchandising to last-mile delivery. Built on Honeywell's Mobility Edge platform, the CT40 XP's common software ecosystem strengthens its security, accelerates multiple deployments, and extends its lifecycle. With a 10-meter accurate flex range imager, displaced device finder, and rugged packaging and protection, it's a reliable, secure device for years of daily performance. To learn more, contact your Bluestar Honeywell representative. Providing the right care to the right patient at the right time is crucial. By connecting patient data, clinicians, and providers in real time using Zebra's healthcare technology solutions, providers can consistently deliver a higher level of care with fewer medical errors. With Zebra's purpose-built solutions, you can ensure easy access to critical patient data through seamless integration and device management. The strength of the Zebra healthcare portfolio helps maximize clinical operational efficiency and patient safety in critical areas like positive patient identification, clinical mobility and collaboration, and with supply chain and inventory management activity. Looking to improve accuracy, clinical staff productivity, and patient safety? Go with Zebra Healthcare.